Hi, everybody. Thanks for tuning in for the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends. It's October 9th, and in the studio with me is Jason Schiffo. Thank you, Jason, for coming out and being a part of this morning's broadcast and the re-airing in the evening for that matter, because we had that great seminar on how to make Jesus's mission and vision your mission and vision. And yesterday, thank you, God, that with Bill staying around after the Friday edition of Mark and Friends, we continued to record our conversation and talking about what people that weren't able to make the seminar, what it looked like, what they could take away, what they would have learned. And so we had that recording and broadcast yesterday. But I thought I would have you in the studio so we could talk a little more about what actually happened, because I only had about 2 minutes to give a quick overview of the fantastic turnout. It's kind of almost exactly what you and I were praying for. Yep. We had this magical number in mind, and it would pay all the bills, and just you could accommodate with all the tables. And it was a fantastic, wonderful group. They stayed around for the Q&A, so there's a lot of good questions asked. But as you walked into the studio just a few minutes ago, I gave you a pen and a notepad.
Yeah, yeah.
And I thought with today's broadcast, here's how I kind of wanted to format it, if you will. And though I don't give you any notice in advance,
generally,
this way you get about 2 minutes to think about things.
Oh, good.
So it's almost like being in Israel with me, which we'll talk about an Israel trip that we're going to be a part of in a special Israel night, maybe in a couple minutes. But let me share a couple of the notes I took.
Okay.
And what I'm thinking is, you can respond, like, take maybe some little notes, and then you can respond to the ones you want to. Because these were some of the things I wrote down, and then you might say, hey, Mark, I want to camp out on this concept.
Sure.
Or, oh, that's that concept of Havarim. Let's just talk about that. So these are some of the things and some of the notes that I wrote down about our seminar with Bill Allison, How to Make Jesus's Mission and Vision Your Mission and Vision. So one was, disciple making is a way of life through relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you could, you know, you're passionate about that. Relationships aren't an ingredient in disciple making. It's how we make disciples like Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
So the importance of how important relationships really are. And then this was another note. We've churched people, but we've not made disciples.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something I know you could talk about. And I can rephrase these if you say, hey, what was
sure.
that second one? You have not made a disciple until you have helped them make a disciple.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to talk maybe some more about Havarim. I know Bill touched on it, and he touched on it at great length during our four-hour training seminar. Does your study, this was a convicting one, and I thought about many people that really know the Scriptures, but does your study of the Scripture lead you to know Jesus better and to love God and others? Or is it kind of like something where you get prideful because you know a lot of Scriptures, you can quote a lot of verses, but really, shouldn't the study of Scripture lead us towards knowing Jesus better and how to love Him and love others?
Mm-hmm.
We've many times made followers, not disciple makers.
Okay.
God has called you to a personal relationship with Him, not a private one.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of an interesting one. I want people to think about that. God has called you to a personal relationship with Him, not a private one. And then church is a place oftentimes many go to be alone.
Mm-hmm.
What is with that? What do you mean you go to church to be alone? We'll mm-hmm. talk maybe about that. And then your spiritual gift is not for you. It's for the church. It's for others.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one. And then one thing that I love, I've thought about this all weekend. And after church on Sunday, I sat down with the Bear Chair and Larry Budgetour's Bunning. We did our typical thing. We do this many times after church. We go to the Texas Roadhouse. But that whole concept from that one passage, as you go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that, I've thought about that all the time, as we go. And I think that was referencing that Scripture, you know, go into all the nations and preach the good news and baptizing them. And we think about the foreign missionaries and go into all these places. But the better rendering is that as you go, mm-hmm. and with that as you go, it's like when you go to the gas pump on your way to work. It's when you interact with your family first thing in the morning. It's when you interact with the postman, the people in the grocery line. Wherever you go, as you go, all the time, you can be disciple-making. You can be influencing people. And I love thinking about that everywhere. It's kind of like that Colossians 3:23, whatever you do, mm-hmm. whether in word or deed. Well, this is the same thing, wherever you go or as you go. And so, okay, so what do you want to talk about this morning, Jason? You might have your own agenda. I don't want to talk about any of those things.
Well, how about we just take them all and we'll just put them all together, because really they all, you can put them all together and talk about them in, boy, almost in one context. And we use it, the passage of scripture that you mentioned, the as you go, we use it in context of that, but that's Matthew 28, 18 through 20. And it says, and then Jesus came to them and he said, all authority on heaven and earth has been given to me. So in case we're fuzzy, because we want to build some context for people here, all authority, so that means all, every bit of authority has been given to Jesus in heaven and on earth. That means all the authority in all places, heaven and earth. And he says, therefore. Now, whenever the scripture says therefore, we have to understand ancient language. Therefore was used to set the stage for something big. When somebody would say, I tell you, therefore. It was a launching pad. It almost was like saying, pay attention. I'm going to say something very important here. Therefore. And so Jesus employs that. He says, therefore.
And I heard people always say, you always want to ask, what's it there for?
Yeah, that's what my theology professor would say. He said, when you say, see a therefore, wonder what the there is for.
Yeah.
And Jesus says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. And some say until the end of the age. But the proper Greek rendering there, as Bill had mentioned during our time, was therefore go is really therefore as you go. The Greek idea of therefore go was therefore as you go along the road, as you go through your day, as you live your life, intimately connected to Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9, which says, you know, these commandments I give upon you today, impress them upon your children. Talk about them when you lie down, when you get up, when you walk along the road, as you go. The Jewish understanding of God, and that's the Jewish Shema, which is said three times a day in temple, is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. God is one. He's one with all things. God is in all things. These commandments I give upon you, impress them upon your children. So God is in everything. Here are his commands. Now impress them upon your children. Why your children? Because your children will then grow up and teach them to their children. The most important thing you could do is hand down an understanding, the story of God, to your kids. Because your kids would then give it to their kids and their kids to their kids' kids. And you'd build this lineage of people thousands upon thousands of years later who are still following this one true God.
Brings to mind that Church of Philadelphia in
Revelation. Yeah, we studied that at church. The Church of Philadelphia, which lasted 1,200 years, longer than any of the other seven churches of Revelation. And they, what we know by them lasting 1,200 years is that they took Deuteronomy 6:4 to heart, that they impressed it upon their children because they were a very small Christian community. So their children, children's children's children kept that church going and kept that church faithful and loving and planting churches as far out into India. Now, therefore, go. So as you go, make disciples of all nations.
Let's camp out a little more. That as you go, I just think is so significant. I think for all of our listeners, there's a point of application for all of us. As we go in everything we do, we have that opportunity to witness. And the whole theme, or at least in a nutshell, the theme for me out of this whole workshop, those 4 or 5 plus hours with Bill and then having him on Thursday and Friday. And then again, yesterday you heard Bill share some more, is learning to love God and to love Jesus. And as we go in all circumstances, in all relationships, in all interactions, we can have that privilege to love other people. And I've just been thinking a lot about that. The learning to love God as we read his scripture, as we pray, as we commune with him, when we're alone, when during our private times, during our morning devotionals or our late night devotionals, certainly with church, and as that we build in that community, we learn to love God. But then as we go, I just think it's so important for everyone today that's driving to work, that's on their way to whatever errands they're running. As you go at the gas pump, in the grocery line, it doesn't matter. But as you go, take that love that you've developed with God, that relationship of knowing that God loves you, that he cares for you, and then love on other people. And God is revealing that kind of truth to me through all these different books I'm reading. Learn to love God, Mark. Learn to love people. And I just would love for our Great News Radio listeners to grasp that as they go today, they can love God and love people.
Yeah, you know what? One of the things we really have to understand about Jesus, because what we do is, and everybody know my heart when I make this statement, what we do is we attach Jesus to Christianity and we attach Christianity to the church. So right away, we always have a fixed point of reference for Jesus, that fixed point of reference being the church. So when you think about Jesus, when you think about that, you instantly, a church probably comes to mind. And Jesus didn't have a fixed point of ministry. Jesus had a moving ministry. Jesus didn't have a place where Jesus, he went to church every Sunday. He went to the temple and he unrolled the scroll and he taught there. We see the same thing with Paul. Paul would go roll into town. He would go to the synagogues and he would teach. But Jesus had a moving ministry. I mean, just think about it. Jesus had an as-you-go ministry. He's walking down the road with the disciples and they're saying, who's greater? Who's greater? And Jesus says, let me tell you something now. And Jesus teaches them. It was an as-you-go ministry. So Jesus is teaching them as they go, but then they were also watching Jesus as he went. You know, a real fascinating thing that I found in my study of scriptures is that by the time Jesus gives the Sermon on the Mount, he's been in the Galilee area at least a year to a year and a half. So by the time Jesus calls the disciples and he gives the Sermon on the Mount, he's been around that area for a long time. And Jesus gives the Sermon on the Mount then. He gives this landmark teaching. But it says in the final words of the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 7, actually Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, but Matthew 7 and verse 28, it said, when Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he had taught with one who had authority, not as their teachers of the law. You know why they were amazed? Because Jesus spent 1.5 years in the Galilee area, going to the market, going to the temple, talking with people, serving people, doing all kinds of things. And here Jesus comes on the scene and he gives this teaching and they're going, wait a second, we're used to hearing teachings that are something like this, but those teachers, we see them and they're way different than what they're teaching is. They don't walk the talk. And here they're amazed because Jesus walks the talk. Jesus says, you've heard this said, and they're going, man, I see him doing these things. I see him living his life this way. Jesus' testimony, you know what Jesus spoke and the condition of his heart matched perfectly. What Jesus said, what he did, the condition of his heart, it matched perfectly. And for some of us, that's not what happens. And so there can be much that can be gleaned and learned as we go. And let me tell you what, I want to distill down. As you go is any time you're in motion with other people. So you know what? The mom who's folding laundry, maybe right now as she's listening to this, you're as you go because your kids are watching you. The person who's driving the school bus, he's as you go. The kids are watching him. If you're at work, if you're picking up the mail, if you're at the grocery store, if you're at the bank, you're pumping gas, like Mark said, wherever you're at, you are as you go. And people are watching. And you have also, number one, they're watching you. So they're seeing if the things that you do match up. But number two, you have an opportunity in that moment to make disciples. Now, I know that some of you right away think, well, make disciples, you mean like Billy Graham evangelism? You know, like, do I have to, you know, does that mean like at the gas pump I'm going to go like, hey, have you ever thought that maybe you were in a courtroom and you had a debt that was too big to pay? What if somebody came in and gave you that oh, I got it.
And what would you do right now if you got in a car accident and died? Are you ready for eternity?
Right. Could you imagine the gas pump thing? You'd be like, I got to go. I really got to go. But that's not what it means. You know what as you go means? It means at the gas pump, you say, hey, how you doing? Hey, that's a nice car. I've been looking at that. What does that look like? You strike up a conversation with somebody. Jesus, throughout the gospel, strikes up conversations with people all the time. I mean, think about the woman at the well. He didn't go like, hey, let me give you the 4 points on how you're going to get closer to God right now. He offers her something very simple like water, and he strikes up a conversation with her. And that's what we need to learn. I think that's really what we've lost. We've lost the art of being in relationship and the art of conversation. It was really funny. I was at the coffee shop the other day, and I was doing some work. And there was a guy who sat down and he was saying, hey, I got a job interview. We struck up a conversation. He said, I got a job interview today for a sales position. And I'm like, oh, wow, that sounds really great. I've known him a little bit. So I said, well, you'd probably be very good at that. And he goes, yeah. He goes, you know what? The guy who's hiring me says there is such a lack of salespeople in the world today because people have lost the art of communication. They've lost the art of being able to take somebody out to dinner and sit down and have meaningful conversation without having some sort of agenda. You know, and we need to reclaim that because Jesus wants to have, look, on the very ground floor, we're all connected. You know, it says in 1 John that we're connected by the unity and the fellowship of the Spirit. And therefore, we're all connected. We're all children of God. We all have someone in common. We've got the same dad. And we need to remember that. Therefore, we've got all kinds of things we can talk about. You know, but sometimes we just, maybe we're too busy. Who knows? But the as you go, we've got to get more intentional about that. And he says in here, as you go, make disciples. And some of us think, well, that means that has something to do with, you know, again, like the Billy Graham salvation evangelism. The making disciples is simply spending time with people. Look, if your testimony stands true and firm, if you're standing near Jesus, if you're following Jesus closely, if Jesus is the center, your compass, when somebody gets in relationship with you, you're making a disciple even if they don't know it. Because they're spending time with you and Jesus is with you, and so they're spending time with Jesus. I say to my pagan friends all the time, I laugh and I say, you know, you might not believe in Jesus, but guess what? He's right here. I brought him again, you know? I mean, but we've got to understand that. And then making disciples is simply sticking near Jesus and doing life with people. You know, it says in John chapter 3 and verse 22, after this, Jesus and his disciples went out to the Judean countryside where he spent some time with them and he baptized. And the spent some time we've talked about before is the Greek word diatribo, which means to rub. It almost means to rub a hole through something. So what does that tell us is that Jesus went out to the countryside with his disciples, he baptized them, and then he rubbed off on them. So the question would be, friend, is who are you rubbing off on? Who are you rubbing off on? You know, we like to look at Matthew 28 and we like to say, oh man, we need to get them, we need to baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. I mean, that's like where we really focus on there. You know, we'll make disciples by doing that. We get it wrong. You know what the baptism part? That's the blessing that comes out of you making the disciple. Because I'm going to tell you what the most fruitful and powerful thing you're going to do is to walk closely along with somebody and then get to baptize them. You're going to get to dunk them in the water and wash the old life off of them. You know, they're going to come back out renewed, reconciled. Oh, Jesus. And that's the caveat that you get. You know, sandwiched between that, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, all ethne. You're making a disciple. As your disciple comes into a point of belief, you get the joy of baptizing them. And then what comes after that? Teaching them to obey, which means you're still walking along with them. You know, it makes me think of, I think it is 2 Timothy.
Turning. You're looking for that. We're walking.
It's 2 Timothy 2:22. Be prepared in season and out of season. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. That's part of teaching people to obey. You made a disciple. You're in relationship with them. I would think you're in great relationship with them because you have baptized them. You've got to stand in that very special place of great joy with them and baptize them. And then you're going to teach them to obey. And what are you going to do that by doing? By rebuking them and correcting them with great patience and careful instructions and with encouragement. And we're good at rebuking, but I don't know if we're really good at rebuking and encouraging at the same time and with careful instruction and with great patience. And that's what it looks like. I make a disciple, and if I'm lucky, I get to baptize him, and then I'm going to walk with him, and I'm going to teach him to obey. And by the way, the teaching to obey part, that's difficult. You know why? You know, Scripture tells us that must be difficult because Jesus says right after that, surely I'm going to be with you all the time. Because teaching them to obey, walking near somebody, helping them to keep them on the path, because the minute you claim somebody's life in Christ as a disciple of yours, the devil's coming after them. Satan's mad. He wants his person back. And don't you know, Jesus is right there. Surely I am with you till the end of the age. And that's longer than we can even understand or comprehend. Jesus is there with us. Mm-hmm. And he's there and he walks with us. You know what? And we can't allow disciple making to be a private relationship. Our relationship with God is a personal relationship because God is a personal God. God speaks to me differently than he speaks to Mark. But God doesn't speak to me about different things in terms of his character than he does to Mark. God is consistent. God speaks the same truths about himself to Mark as he speaks to me. He just speaks to Mark in a different way, a way that Mark understands, and uniquely a way that I understand. And that's the personal nature of our relationship with God. But that's not, we're not called to have a private relationship. And this is where I think we really get messed up. You know, I've run into a lot of people who say, you know, we just need to go out in the community and serve people, and we don't have to share the gospel. Let our deeds be the light. And I go, you know what? I think our deeds should be the light. But when I read the New Testament, I don't find a silent servant. I don't find somebody who says, I'm just here to serve and I'm not going to say anything. In fact, everybody in the New Testament that I know of gets killed, beaten, tortured. Paul rolls into town and he doesn't say, hey, what are the hotels like? He says, hey, can you show me the prison because I'm going to be there shortly. And I mean, we get tied up in the fact that it's a private relationship too, and it's not a private relationship. You know why God grabbed a hold of your heart? God grabbed a hold of your heart so that he could save you from your own sin, from your own self, and therefore you could be catapulted out into the world. Listen, this is why God saved you. God saved you so therefore you could go and make disciples of all nations. Because what brings glory to God? More people in Champaign getting saved, more people in Mahomet getting saved, more people in Rantoul and Fisher and Urbana and Gibson City and in Indiana. That's what brings glory to God. More people extolling and lifting up the name of Jesus. You know what? God wants to see churches that are filled to the brim with voices singing worship and praise. Not because God loves a big church, but God loves a lot of people who are screaming out, crying out his name, and who are following him closely. Because you know what? That multiplies the number of disciples that are going to be made.
And it's all about loving God so that we can love people as we go. And I'm glad I'm going to have you around for the Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends, because I want to also ask you, and we'll save this for tomorrow, but that as you go, okay, what about those of us that have botched it up? We've maybe not been consistent with our testimony. Yes, we brought Jesus with us to work, and we've lost our temper or made some bad decisions, or we've been hypocrites, if you will. And so maybe we can address that a little tomorrow on how God can work through us, that just because you've botched it up, you've sinned that day, doesn't mean you're disqualified to ever share him as you go. So be sure to tune in tomorrow for the Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends. Thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffo with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you and have a great day and night.